So today is June 18, 2015, in Sasana era 2559. So Sayadaw has been expounding the samadhi, the concentration for meditators here at TMC. So out of the Eightfold Noble Path, there are three samadhi group that includes sama, vayama, right effort, sama sati, right mindfulness, and sama samadhi, right concentration. So these three are grouped into a samadhi group, samadhi classification. When we observe the present phenomena, our mind is focused on the object, and then the mind becomes stable and unified on the object. That is called samadhi, concentration. So today, Sayadaw, we talk about the two other factors which are based on the concentration or concentration group, sama vayama, sama sati, sama samadhi, right effort, right mindfulness, and right concentration. So two factors are sama sankappa and sama dhiti, sama dhiti and sama sankappa. So sama sankappa is the mental state, which is directs the noting mind toward the mental and physical phenomena. So sama sankappa means right thought, which means the attention paid or directed to the objects. So when we pay attention, close attention to the object, then we discern the true nature of mind and body, where we realize the characteristics of mind and body. That realization or that discernment signify or means samadhi, right view. So today, Sayadaw, we expound these two factors, samasankappa, right thought, and samadhi, right view. So in order to develop the mindfulness and concentration, we have to observe the present phenomena moment by moment, sitting, walking, or daily activities, wherever we are, whatever we do. We try our best to observe present phenomena continuously. So in this case, the effort is very important. We have to make effort to direct our mind to the object, to pay our attention to the object. When we can pay our attention to the object, then the mind will become focused on that object. At that moment, we develop the mindfulness and concentration. So this moment involved the effort, mindfulness, and concentration. So at that moment, there will be no room for sensory desire. So we call karma vitaka. When the mind is fully focused on the present phenomena, no sensuya, the thought of sensuya pleasure can come in. Instead, the nekama vitaka, the thought of the liberation or renunciation will replace it. So every moment we develop mindfulness, we prevent our mind from thinking of the sensuya pleasure and then thinking something wholesome beyond this sensuya pleasure. And in the same way, when we develop mindfulness, there is no room for the thought of torture, thought of torturing other, tormenting other, or hurting other. Vihinsa vitaka, and thought of killing, jhavara vitaka. Also, these vitaka no more interfere with our practice. So every moment we develop mindfulness and concentration, and there will be no such unwholesome thoughts. Kama, vitaka, the thought of sensuya pleasure, vihinsa vitaka, thought of hurting others, vyabhara vitaka, thought of destruction others. Instead, we develop the nikama vitaka, the thought of renunciation or thought of liberation, and avihinsa vitaka, sort of the non-torture or the loving kindness or compassion or abhyabhara, thought of the non-hatred. So in this way, we develop the samasankappa, right thought, with every moment of mindfulness. So when our mind is not afflicted by the unwholesome thoughts, thought of sensual pleasure, and then thought of aversion, so on, and then our way of thinking become correct. Actually, when our mind is freed from mental hindrances, there is always right thought, samasankappa. So there's karma chanda, the sensuya desire, and vyabhara, and thought of hatred. So when our mind is free from these unwholesome thoughts, mind becomes clear and pure, and powerful enough to see object clearly. Then we can discern the true nature of the object, mind and matter. That discernment is called samadhi, right view or right understanding. So in ultimate sense, samadhi, right view or right understanding means panya or wisdom. So panya wisdom is defined in terms of the characteristics, functions, and manifestation. So its characteristics or its true nature is discernment of clear realization of mind and matter, or the thought of discernment of mind and matter, mental and physical phenomena. It is the characteristics of the wisdom of Pinya. And its functions is it bring object into the light. It is like something, for example, dark room. When we bring the light, candlelight, into the dark room, so everything will become visible to us. Everything become clear to us. So in the same way, the panya wisdom, the function like a light that make everything visible to us, everything clear to us. This is the function of the wisdom. And manifestation, the wisdom or knowledge manifests to us as a non-delusion. When we have wisdom, we no longer deluded. We are no longer deluded. Everything clear to us. So this is how the pinya or wisdom manifests to yogis who become aware of it. So the more the ultimate phenomena are known to us, the closer we become to realization of Four Noble Truths. So Four Noble Truths is called Ariya Satya. Ariya Satya means the truth known to the noble people. So here, as many of us know, four kinds of noble truth. The first one is dukkha ariya sajja. The dukkha, the true dukkha, known to noble people. And then dukkha samudaya ariya sajja, they are the main cause of the suffering, dukkha, known to the noble people. And then dukkha nirodha ariya sajja, the cessation of the suffering, that is known to the noble people. And then the last one is dukkha nirodha gamini patipada ariya sajja, the noble path that leads us to the complete cessation of suffering, known to the noble people. So these are four noble truths, known to the noble people, clearly known to the noble people. So when we are able to observe continuously, we discern mind and body in ultimate sense. Then with the every moment of mindfulness, we are getting closer to realization of these four noble truths. In this regard, it's important for us to understand the two kinds of the truth, samudhi sajja and paramattha sajja, conventional truth and ultimate truth. So first of all, samudhi sajja. The samudhi sajja means the truth, conventionally recognized, unanimously recognized by all the people. So they are mostly the concepts, conceptual things, like the human being, or there's a difference between human being and animal, or men and women. These are truth, conventionally recognized by everybody. So they are truth in this sense. So this kind of truth is called samudhi sajja, the conventional truth. So paramattha here means the something true, something real. It is defined as a paramo, uttamo, paramattho. Paramo means noble, uttamo means sublime. So noble, sublime means true. They are called noble because they are true, they are real. So they are something real, something really exists. So that's why they are called paramattha, something noble because they are something real. So in Abhidhamma, they are classified into four kinds: consciousness, mental factors, body, and or physical phenomena, or nibbana. So for a yogi, there is only two things to understand. That is mind and metta, nama and rupa. So these mind and metta, or mental and physical phenomena, are something real, something true. They are something really exist. For example, the earth element. Earth element can be experienced in terms of the hardness, smoothness, and so on. So in this sense, the Pathavi or earth element is something real, something true. And our element, this Vata element, this element can be experienced as a fluidity or liquidity or stickiness or wetness. In this sense, this the Vata element is something real. Nothing wrong with that. This element is really exists. And then Tejo element, Fire element, is can be experienced as warmth, cold or coolness, or lightness, and so on. And then while your wind element can be experienced the motion, pressure, tension, vibration, and so on. So these are physical phenomena in ultimate sense. They are something real. They are true, not something elusive. In the same way, mental phenomena, like the pasa, mental contact, and vedana, feeling, and perception, sanya, and so on, these are also things real, what really exist. They are not something illusion. They are something real, true. So if we can see these phenomena in terms of their characteristics as mentioned, so we are seeing things as they really are. So that's the paramattha satya, the ultimate truth. So the alternatively, the paramattha is defined as paramo, uttamo, anta pachako. Paramo, uttamo, noble. What is noble? Because anta pachako, which can be directly experienced. So paramattha means something real we can directly experience. We ourselves can experience. So when we practice meditation, observing the present phenomena, we can discern mind and body, mind and matter. So that's we see the through our own experience. But on the other hand, the samudhi satya, the conventional truth, is actually concept. The conceptual things. It's like a magic show. Many of us has experienced magic show. In a magic show, as you know, the magician, they may create, for example, a cloth from out of the piece of paper. Or the piece of paper may be created into a bird or dove and so on. So that's what the magic show is. So the piñati, the conventional truth, is compared to that magic show. And another example is a mirage. In the desert, there's a sun is a very, very shiny and bright, and then there's a mirage can be taken as the water, like an animal, like a deer. So the deer may follow the thirsty and follow the mirage because it mistakes mirage for water. But in the end, there's nothing, no water, as is expected. So in the same way, when we drive on a highway, freeway, in a very hot sun, we may find the mirage look like a water. But when we get closer and to that place, we don't find water as expected. So that's the nature of the piñati, the nature of the conceptual things. So the paramattha is something real. We can experience it. We can witness ourselves. And or in other words, we can only understand paramattha through our own experience. Otherwise, we cannot understand what something is real. Like, for example, we have to eat ice cream. And then only then we can really understand what the taste ice cream is. If somebody may explain for many time, oh, ice cream taste is so good, like this and that, without own experience, we won't understand at all. However way you say how ice cream tastes, we won't understand without own experience. So the paramattha, the ultimate truth, can only be understood through our own experience. That's what we call the definition of paramattha. So for example, we observe rising, falling of the abdomen during sitting or walking, during walking, lifting, moving, dropping. By observing our physical actions and mental activities continuously, we discern mind and body, their true nature, through our own experience, not by hearsay. That's the nature of paramattha. That's the ultimate truth. So here, the ultimate truth, the paramattha, paramattha sajja, is of two kinds, sabhava sajja and ariya sajja, natural truth and noble truth. So paramattha sajja means ultimate truth. So according to this truth, there are discrimination between merit and demerit, or pleasure and displeasure. So these are all different phenomena, different the nature. So as a yogi, meditator, before we realize for Ariya noble truth, we cannot understand what Ariya Sajja noble truth really is. So all we have to be aware of is the natural truth, one of the ultimate truth. So Sabhava Sajja, Sabhava Sajja. So to understand Sabhava Sajja, all we have to do is to watch then the moment they arise. When we are able to watch these phenomena the moment they arise, we can understand what they really are. So in the beginning of the practice, of course, we cannot avoid the illusory sense of form or shape or the mode or manner and so on. The conceptual sense are still predominant. But through the continuous mindfulness and concentration, definitely we will be able to discern real mental and physical phenomena beyond the conceptual form and shape or the mode. So for that discernment, all we have to do is, as mentioned earlier, we have to observe in the present phenomena, in the present moment. We have to observe mental or physical phenomena the moment they arise. So today, during the interview, one of the yogis asked a question. So she's leaving tomorrow, so she want a kind of advice how to practice, how to continue the practice. Then Sierra mentioned, so just be mindful of the present phenomena, just trying to see the phenomena the moment they arise. That trying to see things as they really are. Then we will gain the discernment of mind and matter. We will realize the true nature of the mind and matter. That's the realization of the Sabhava Sajja, the natural truth. So in brief, to realize the natural truth, or ultimate truth. All we have to do is to observe the present phenomena, to observe mind and metta the moment they arise. So as long as we are observing present mind or metta, we are for sure developing vipassana insight. The yogis here, they often concerned about their progress, or they always think about whether they can develop, whether they are developing vipassana insight or not. So during the interview, Searo appreciates the yogis' report. Many yogis, Searo found, many yogis observe carefully, and they discern mental and physical phenomena clearly. So given their report, Searo understand they are developing the progressive vipassana insight. They are discerning the true nature of mind and body, or the natural truth, sabhava satya. So through this understanding of the sabhava satya, or discernment of mind and metta, the yogi are closer and closer to the realization of noble truth, the truth known to the noble people. So as mentioned repeatedly, all we have to do is just to observe the present phenomena the moment they arise. So in conclusion, Searo wish, may you all be able to make great effort to develop continuous mindfulness and progressive vipassana insight until you realize noble truth. That's all for today.